Amir's back on the pod. Thank you. By the end of this episode, what are people going to learn?
Today, we're going to cover three aspects of building a business, using new tools to actually build out landing pages, and then using other tools like Humbolytics to actually create high converting landing pages and running experiments. So we're going to cover how to actually use Idea Browser to build the right amount of context and planning to come up with an idea and build a landing page behind it, validate it, refine the design using paper design, and then going into Humbolytics and then running an experiment and tracking data to then come back and keep optimizing for conversions.
And you're going to commit to giving all the sauce. You're not holding back.
Raw. We're going to go through everything, all the sauce. By the end of this, you're going to learn what it takes to take an idea, validate it, refine it, build a landing page with a nice design that's not vibe coded, and then get the right data to make some money.
Okay, because there's a lot of tutorials that sort of promise that, right? But yeah. Then you end up with like a purple vibe coded landing page.
Do I ever let you down,
Greg? No, you don't. That's true.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's go. Let's get into it.
All right, so Idea Browser came out with something really cool I really like, which is basically you can now directly connect Idea Browser to Claude Code as an MCP. What's really interesting about it is, you know, you guys used to focus a lot on finding the right idea and then building it. But what was missing was, how do you track the natural progression of how the business is evolving over time with the right context and documents to then come back and reference to say, okay, cool, like, this is the idea I had. Here's how I started with the ICP positioning. Now I want to come back and refine this, or help me figure out kind of what to pitch for or who to go after as my customers. So I was playing around with Jordan earlier today. We were on a live stream and we found this really cool idea, which was an AI sparring partner for B2B sales teams. The idea was, how do we build a tool that kind of essentially helps reps practice on prospects on real time? And get them to essentially go through simulations of being like, you know, going through a sales call and getting feedback on what they can improve on. We put together a quick landing page, we made some designs, and then got some data in there and started tracking it. So for today's episode, we're gonna build on top of this. We're gonna refine the messaging. We're gonna go through some sections on the website, refine the copy and design, show you how to use paper for that. And then also, get some experiments and A/B testing in there.
Cool.
What we have so far is we have this one specific file, which is like an offer definition and talk tracks. It tells you who your target customer is, the transformation, the offer, the value, competitive positioning. What's really cool is you guys also have skills in here, which you can use to then build on top of the idea. So I actually want to use the lead magnet legend here, this specific skill, to build a specific lead landing page site to kind of get someone to come sign up and, you know, go through this process. So we're going to open up Terminal and we already have all the MCPs connected. So if I go to MCP, you can see I have Idea Browser, I have paper, all that. We're going to go through it. So I'm going to say connect to Idea Browser, MCP, look at my AI B2B sparring partner project, pull the right context, then use the lead magnet skill to create a...
By the way, I just got to say this because people are going to hate on you for the comments. In the comments, you type your prompts. You don't use voice.
Listen, I love Whisper Flow, but tell me how I'm going to do this while I'm doing the pod, okay? All right? Just you got to bear with me here.
Okay, so when you're at home, are you using Whisper Flow or are you still typing?
I am. So I usually use Whisper Flow when I'm initially starting a project or some session, and it's like a long... It depends on, honestly, on the context of how much information I'm going to put in the terminal. But yeah, no, I got Whisper Flow, you know?
Okay.
I'm up to date with the tools. So what we're doing right now is... We've pulled the right project context. And so like we have context right here that's built as a file. And then we also have a growth strategy that we worked on earlier. And then from there, we're going to build out a lead magnet specifically for this idea. So we have this AI B2B sparring partner. What's really cool is you guys have this like activity streak to keep building on kind of your business. And that's like the biggest problem these days. Like everyone can build landing pages. Everyone has ideas. But how do you actually... know where to get customers? How do you actually grow it? And that's the next kind of gap that we're all trying to solve for right now.
Well, yeah, I think we've all tried the vibe coding tools. We've all built stuff.
Yeah.
I do think that having the right idea is important. Mm-hmm. Finding the right niche is important, but you know, the other thing is just like, how do you get customers to honestly just give you confidence to keep going?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to eventually get there. And I think you guys do a really good job of this. And I'm not like promoting, like I'm promoting Idea Browser. Don't get me wrong, but I wasn't, you know, I'm actually using this tool myself now because that was kind of the biggest gap I had myself. Like with Humbleytics was like, okay, cool. I have all these great ideas and I've been understanding who our customer is and trying to get customers through trial and error. And I was telling Jordan earlier, I was like, I wish I had Idea Browser sooner, right? So that I can come back and use these specific skills to understand, okay, cool, what is the right growth strategy? Because a lot of what you guys have has been fully refined. And we were going through this earlier today, and it was interviewing me and asking me questions. And I was like, this is so impressive. I wish I had Humbleytics for this specifically so that I can come back and say, okay, cool. Like Humbleytics used to go after director of marketing in this specific field with this kind of messaging. And yeah, so kudos to you guys for building a really cool product with this. And I think a lot of people now can actually use this to build the idea and then also help build the business as well. So we going back to Cloud Code, we were connected to the MCP. We have built out the lead magnet, which is basically five objections that kill fright software deals. So we actually niched down. We built this AI B2B sparring partner in the fright software industry. And it's going to say, you're going to want to create a PDF guide. Give them all the, yep, so this is great. Okay, cool. So we have the idea of the lead magnet and it should now actually save the file in here. Let's go back. Boom. Now we have the file. So this is really cool. Like you have context of the ideas it came with and it's added here. Now we're going to come back and use the scale. I got to come back here. We have the, where is this? The landing page architect. So using, and basically what we're going to do now is for the people that don't know, Paper is, it's a really cool tool where essentially it's connected. So I'm taking a step back. Typically with Figma, you had designers creating static assets in Figma, landing page designs, and then handing off to engineering teams, right? The missing gap was now we have a lot of people that are building landing pages and websites with Cloud Code directly in code and refining it through there and then losing track of like what they're iterating on and not having the ability to be able to kind of refine this. So with Paper, what you're able to do is actually have an interface connected to Cloud Code where you're ideating, creating iterations of iterations directly in the design and then coming up with like what direction you want to go with and then having it in code. So it's kind of like the intermediary step that we were missing before where people were just directly building in code.
And, you know, you can use Paper. Are there any other competitors that people use or just stick to Paper?
I mean, so Figma just recently came out with their bi-directional ACP, yeah. MCP. I'm in your world, man.
Totally.
Yeah, MCP, where you can both design, like you can take a design and build it to code or code to design to go bi-directional, which this is essentially what Paper already is. But I just feel like the tooling and the interface and the experience around Paper is a lot nicer in my opinion, and it just works a lot better. So we're now connected to, we've captured the lead magnet. We have the landing page scale architect being added as well with the offer that we wanna have. And now we wanna actually build out the page using Paper. So while that's going through it, I want to talk about kind of how you can refine your designs as well. So oftentimes you see people with kind of these vibe coded designs and they're not entirely sure how to actually go with like the right direction of building out a design system. What I typically like to do is always give Claude a reference image of an existing design that I like. So for example, I'll go into an existing site or have some bookmarks of sites that I like and I'll take the screenshots and I'll drop it into Claude and I'll say extrapolate like the key design elements from these pages and help me create a design system. So what you're seeing right now, for example, is a design system that I've created using Claude based on reference images so that we can kind of reference back into for future sessions. So if I want to come back and create a new section or a new component of my landing page, I can say reference design style guide as like the basis as you're creating new components so that you have that consistency. Now I want to show an example, like again, a lot of people have this misconception that vibe coded design is bad. This has all been fully vibe coded. We built all these animations, all these components using Claude. And it doesn't seem that way. It seems very polished, very well refined. And the way to do that is you refine it through Paper and then give example components and illustrations from other websites or libraries to build on top of. So for example, I use this tool quite a lot. It's called TailArc Pro, and they have a lot of great existing blocks and illustrations that you can use. And you can actually install these and use it as a reference. So I'll go back into paper and I'll show you kind of how. Oh, nice. Right now we're seeing Cloud Code design and build directly in paper on what this lead magnet looks like, which is
pretty really cool.
Really, really cool. I love the little kind of section by section it's building out. So I think this is perfect. Actually, this is a great segue to that. So we're going to let it build out the landing page. Then I'm going to show you how you can actually use TailArc as a reference point to then improve the design of this. So it goes from something like this to something a little bit more tailored, like this, for example.
By the way, there's an ant on the table just there. Do we let the ant watch your demonstration, or do we, you know, or do we sort of move him aside? What do you think?
I think we'll give him, put him on. I mean, where do we put him?
I mean, I have nothing against the ant.
He's chilling.
He's chilling.
He's getting the direct sauce.
Yeah, we can give the ant some sauce, you know.
He's a napkin in case.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're building out the section, which is pretty cool. Now, like, a lot of people say, okay, cool, like, why don't I just build this directly in code? Why do I have to actually use paper? The idea is that you can use paper to help build out different variations. So if I wanted to try different layouts, I can just do it directly in here, make some refinements myself, especially for designers. I think this is super powerful for designers that want to just jump in and start changing things themselves without having to kind of use Cloud Code again or existing components they have. So we'll let this finish. Then I want to show you some examples of what I've also created in paper to show you that what's possible if you keep refining it and go through it. Perfect. So we're all done here. Now, what does this look like in actual real practice if you spend time refining this? So this is all designed in paper. I've given the design style guide I have in Humbolytics. I've said, here's the components you have, and use these components to refine it. So I actually build out some of these sections in here and then port it over to code. I even use it to create static assets that I want to use in ads, in thumbnails, whatever it is. This is all purely built using Claude. Now, how do you go back to actually refine the design here? So what I do typically is I'll go into TailArc and find a section that I like. So we have this like content area section. I'll go into, let's go into content right here. Okay, cool. I like this right here. Or maybe, yeah, we'll use this one. Cool. So I'll go back into terminal and I'll say install this TailArc component and use it for the content section in the lead magnet. First design it in paper. And then we just need to pull the API key for TailArc. Cool.
I've actually never heard of TailArc.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just another UI library. I mean, yeah. I'm not sure who's behind it. I think it's like an indie founder or something like that.
It looks clean.
Yeah, super clean. It's the way to go. You know, kudos or shout out to whoever built this. I think it's an indie person. Whoever it is, you've done a great job. Keep doing it. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. They got taste, that's for sure. So what we're doing right now, we're just installing TailArc so that we can like install the right components here. And what's special about this is that you can take those components that I showed you earlier. So if for example, we're going to do the content one, this one specifically, and I can just drop it in as well, a screenshot to say like, install this, use this component. And then I'll go back into paper and say like, use it for this section here.
What's also interesting is, you know, showing TailArc, showing Idea Browser, the MCP, it's sort of a glimpse into like the future of software, mm-hmm. right? Like you're not, in the past, we would go and just use SaaS, right? Yeah. Now it's like the work is getting done in the terminal.
Nailed it. Again, it's becoming the interface for work for everything.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember our first episode,
that's
like
right.
Cursor was into, yeah. Like
you were right.
Yeah.
So you said, I think your exact words were something like,
I think the mistake I made was I said cursor.
That's
like,
what you said.
Yeah, cursor is the interface of work, or it's the future of the interface of work. I would say now terminal. The terminal is the interface of work. We were early.
We were early.
We were early. Like, we're like, yeah, markdowns are going to become a thing. You're going to do all your work in cursor, all of it in terminal.
People thought we were crazy.
Yeah. They were like, here we are today, man.
Everyone, yeah. And we're showing you this, and someone probably listening to this is probably like, you guys are crazy.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, for example, was like, you're now seeing people building out markdown pages on the websites to make it easier for agents to access, right? You look at what's happening now. People are giving agents wallets. Well, what's going on here? They're giving out wallets. They're giving them emails, inboxes, stuff like that. So it's insane to see. It's insane to see kind of the evolution of that. And we're seeing, actually, tangent. I have a thesis. The thesis is that more agents are going to actually visit websites than humans.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's I'm 100% certain of that. It's not even, I saw that Gartner had a research report that said 20% of commerce will, on the internet by 2030, will be agents, meaning like agents are buying things. Mm-hmm. The tail, or what's the how do I say this? Basically, where it's going is agents doing more and more things. So obviously, there's going to be way more agents than humans. Therefore, there's going to be way more consumption of agents of products.
Yeah. And it's like the multiplier effect too, right? Because you have people running multiple open clause or multiple agents on behalf of one person. And who was it? There was a report saying, I don't know if they were serious, but they're saying, yeah, we should put a tax on agents, right? Because it's like, it's making us more productive. There's a whole
think about human beings, right? Like if you're running a company and you want to hire someone, you have to pay payroll tax on that person, right? So of course, then, governments are going to be like, well, it's kind of like you're hiring a person. Therefore, there should be some taxes that, agents have to pay.
There's an arbitrage opportunity right there, right? Like you as a single human now have an army of agents working for you on your behalf. There are a multiplier effect of what your income is or whatever it is that you're doing. More productive. Yeah. Whereas you're making more money. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at some point we have some agent tax. It's like on your taxes, like list out the agents you have. But anyways, back to kind of talking about the future of web. Yeah, like we're also seeing right now more websites being built to be agent friendly, right? CloudFlare came out with their endpoint to be able to crawl websites to give access to agents to be able to get the data they need. And, we actually had our website built in Webflow, then we migrated to Framer, and now we fully built in custom code. Why? Because we wanted to be able to use the agent as our CMS. So use Claude Code to directly update our CMS, and the ability to give access to other tools to like quickly ship changes, run tests, give access to our agents and MCPs, which is you can now kind of do with Webflow and Framer, but it's not as open as you want it to be essentially.
So, makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of the thought process behind it. Let's go back. Nice. So yeah, we're getting a much nicer, refined design here. And then if we wanted to, we can go back and like maybe find more components to drop. So let's look at like maybe.
So one of the things I really liked about your website, the Humbleytics website, is like the animations were really good. Yeah. How do you think about like if we wanted to like update the designs here to be a little more animated, how would we do that?
Yeah. So I basically went into here. So this one has a very subtle animation. I copied this component and I dropped it back into terminal in Claude Code. I said, hey, add the section and then add a subtle animation. And the goal, like I always say, like you don't want to over animate things. It's interesting to see how like agents respond to constraints and guardrails, especially around like, hey, make subtle changes, subtle animation, subtle design refinements. I'm actually very intentional with that word when I use it with agents, because like if you say improve the design, it's so broad and generic. Whereas you say, hey, work on refining the design, make sure you have consistent layouts and themes and keep it subtle enough to make sure there's like cohesiveness across the entire page. I find that prompt works a lot better than just saying improve the design.
Keep it subtle, stupid.
Yeah, keep it subtle. Exactly. There you go. So, while that's happening, I'll say when you're done, make the changes in the code and push it and tell me the URL route for it. and add a section on the homepage to the lead magnet. Cool. We already have the site right now, and we're going to now add that lead magnet section. So we were actually earlier today with Jordan and I in the live stream, we were building out the home section, the hero section, and we started working on the steps below it. But now what we're going to do is build a lead magnet page using what we just covered in paper and the designs. And then, yeah, we're going to push it live to the website and then run some, get some analytics in there and run some experiments to see what drives more conversions. Cool. Yeah. And then like for the audience, like keep in mind, like we're doing this really, really quickly. We're speed running through this, you know, obviously, like if you look at this design, it's a lot more refined than what it would be. Typically, I would spend a couple of hours going through this, going through specifically like different illustrations or blocks or sections. I just want to cover like the key principles of how I approach it. And then you can come back and like use these different components to refine each individual section. Any questions, thoughts?
Yeah, I think I was just thinking about this. Like we all have these, this, you know, expectations that you're going to like one prompt something, two prompt something, three prompt. Yeah. So I'm happy you said that it's probably going to take a couple hours if you really do want to get it dialed. So I don't want people to go through this whole process and be like, well, when Amir did it, it looks so much better. Well, Amir, first of all, you had the library, so that was helping. But also, you know, it takes time, right?
It takes a lot of time. Like
I mean, it does take a lot of time if you think about it. It just takes, like,
yeah.
About, you know, if Amir from 2017 saw this,
oh, like, he would be like,
and heard that you said it took a lot of time, you'd be like, what is Amir on?
No, yeah, no.
But it takes time. It takes some amount of time.
It takes time, taste, and skill to know what you got to do and how to do it, right? It's like we made it so easy to achieve the tasks. How do you give the agents the right direction and approach to say, here's how you need to do it? The taste is what we know. We've been talking about a lot.
Yeah. And direction, right? Like this particular component needs subtle animation.
Yeah.
Here's a reference of that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like I built this component from scratch. Not from scratch, off an existing component that was, I think, let's actually find it.
So you found a component here.
Exactly. So I found a component here. We're going to find it because I know, I'll tell you where it is. So like this is, for example, right here.
Yeah. Okay?
So we had this component and this is it right here. I ported this one over, but I said add a subtle animation to switch through it, for example. Yeah. Or this analytics query right here. So this one is... this one, right? Now that specific component, I think it was one of these cards essentially. And yeah, I took it and I said, hey, based on this component, oh, right here, this one. It was this one and I turned it into this, which is, you know?
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. So we've built out the design of the guide page in here. And now we're going to see if it's live on the website. So let's push this and then we're going to go to guide. Boom. So now we have it. We have the sections here. Okay. So now let's get some analytics in here to see how many people actually could sign up for this lead magnet.
So I just want to say one thing. This lead magnet looks gorgeous. Like think about this lead magnet looks better than 99.99999% of lead magnets that exist, right? Okay. So people listening to this, like, this is, think about, you know, don't just create one lead magnet, right? Like every few weeks, create new lead magnets, optimize your lead magnets, and you're going to be able to outperform because you're going to know how to do and create gorgeous looking lead magnets.
Exactly. And we did this in like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Again, like you get the right components, the right direction. You can do some research on the best ones, port them over as reference styles, and then make that refinement. So right now, while you were going through it, I found this kind of decent component. I was like, why don't we just try this design instead and add it? So let's see what happens. Yeah. Okay, cool. It's going to adopt it and it's going to have that split layout. All right, so we've got this lead magnet. We'll wait while it's refining the design. We're going to come back and essentially get some analytics installed and look at some click tracking, form submissions, and run some experiments to see if I were to change this headline, for example, what would this look like? And, you know, what would increase more form submissions for our leads? And we use this approach at Humbletics. We just started actually where we built like an autonomous CRO agent where we have direct skills and MCPs connected to a Claude. So we directly connect to our analytics and experimentation tool, our marketing site, which is why we port it over to custom code. We wouldn't have been able to do this through Webflow. And then we have Google Ads. The idea is, how can we spin up multiple subpages that are personalized campaigns, like personalized campaign landing pages based on the campaigns we have? So like, if I'm running a pain point campaign on Google Ads and have 5 ad sets, I want each one to have its own personalized landing page. And I want to A/B test each individual landing page to see what headline resonates the most, or what layout, for example. You're able to do this with the custom code site really quickly with Claude Code. With Framer or Webflow, you have to create the pages, create the sections, come back and update it. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the whole thesis we're talking about earlier, where it's like the feature of websites is custom code and the agent is the CMS. And then you have it running, and you can even set up like, so what we do is we have like a cron job now directly in Claude Code, because they support automated tasks, to say every week go into like run this specific task. So what we have is Google Ads directly connected to Claude through the API. We have 3 Claude skills, a paid media manager that pulls data from Meta and Google. We have a CRO optimizer that runs A/B tests. And then we have a funnel report that just gives us a report of like, here's how many users you had signed up. It connects to Stripe, Chartmogul, all the different tools that we have. And then we have Humbleytics that essentially hits our endpoint to give you recommendations. It actually uses Firecrawl to scrape the pages, and then helps you kind of say, okay, here's what you need to optimize for. Helps you run the experiment all through Claude, and then it manages the like the results for you.
I mean, that is just so cool that we live in a world where you can do that.
I know. Yeah. And the best part is you can actually use this with Idea Browser to pull all that context and save it as a file back into Idea Browser. Jordan and I were talking about this. We're like, yo, we can do this now. Like, imagine you do a weekly report. You pull all the data, you add it into Idea Browser, and now Idea Browser has context of like how growth has been over time.
Which is sort of the unlock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you have that, you're just going to get better results. You're going to compound. And that's like how you can compete, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we just added the component to the... We installed this new component, but I realized the mistake we made was we got rid of the form. Right. So we're adding it back in. But yeah, like to your point, we actually, before this, we were tracking all the context directly in Obsidian as well. So we have a master like performance log.
Yeah.
It says like, here's how this A/B tested. Here's how much money you made. Here's what you need to improve on. And we just come back to this context. So we have this all set up now. We have this landing page. And let's go back to the homepage and maybe run an A/B experiment on this homepage to see if we can increase click-through rates. So what I'll do is I'll spin up Claude again, and then we're going to go into... So with Humbleytics, you can just go directly to the API, create an API key, get your property details and instructions to hit the Claude. But what it, you know, you get the basic analytics you typically see, where people are visiting from, traffic, you know, the channels, everything you want. If you're looking to like run paid ad campaigns, you get full attribution directly in here. So you can see exactly what channels are making you money. You can have heat maps to see scroll depth, what people are clicking on, the fold experience. You can even create funnels. So for example, if you want to go like, you know, from page to guide, you can even run it. It'll show you what people went through as steps. And then you can run A/B experiments. So we have 0 right now. We're going to use Claude to actually run an experiment. So we're just going to copy this. We have a dedicated skill for this, but I thought just to show people the steps. So using this approach, create an A/B experiment, no code type for the headline. So just what the headline.
So you have a skill for this?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll share the link afterwards.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that people can use, where essentially we'll help you get set up with like Humbleytics, run experiments, get recommendations. But we have endpoints right now that you can hit to say, okay, like tell your agent or Claude Code, hit the specific endpoint, the recommendations endpoint, and it'll actually scrape your site, pull traffic insights, pull all the existing data you have in Humbleytics and even Idea Browser, and then give you a very detailed report on here's what you should focus on for your landing page, or what you should test. Yeah. Nice. So it's pulling insights based on analytics. We have a 40% average scroll, 25% bounce rate. Here's the page content. Here's what your control should be. And then here's what you should be, what should be the variant. Okay, cool. We should now go back into experiments, we now have an A-B test running directly through here, which is crazy. It's actually insane. And we did this without even deploying a change, because our script dynamically updates the content on the site without you having to go to your developers and say, hey, like, can you create this new page or push it for us? So this is what we had. If I refresh this maybe a couple times, because it's like it's distributing traffic. Let's see.
Right.
There we go.
Every lost deal started with an objection your rep wasn't ready for. Honestly, not bad.
Pretty fire. Yeah. Yeah. But here's the cool thing. We just launched an experiment.
Yeah.
And it automatically updated the page without pushing code. And now you're tracking to see how this headline will actually impact conversions.
Right.
So if I click this, for example, you know, and then let's say we go back to control. So this is right now showing, okay, now we're on control. And we go back in here. We can see exactly how conversion is doing. So it's still pretty early. So it's going to like not have any good data to show, but it's showing you even what people are clicking on directly and telling you how the test is doing. Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's also insane that like, I don't know anyone who's doing this.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah. I think this stack right here, what I showed between going from idea to refining in paper, then analyzing, optimizing for this. Like if you're a go-to-market person, marketing person, and use a stack, you're unstoppable. Yeah. So we're doing this at scale now. We're running a bunch of paid Meta ads, Google ads, directly connected, pulling all the context, creating personalized pages, and seeing like what's making money.
I mean, there's also an opportunity to actually take this stack and sell this as a service, right? Like how many businesses, you know, would pay 5, 10, 15, 20 grand a month if you can actually be doing this for them? Like probably a lot.
Yeah. We actually have a couple of customers that work with us and say, hey, like we'll pay you like 5K, 10K a month. Can you just run?
Right.
Can you just use your software and then run it for us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like you can connect Meta ads directly in here, Google ads, get full revenue attribution. And then they say, hey, like just tell us like where our top of funnel spend should be. And so it's almost like we're seeing this now too, like managed service.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I feel like we've covered a lot, right? We went from an idea that we had in Idea Browser to like now having relevant context. So we can even come back and say like in the terminal, say, you know, using Idea Browser MCP, add this info to the context. So we can come back and actually add this as a file, right? So we went from idea to designing something in paper, to building a new landing page, to then having analytics and experiments behind it.
Crazy. What a time to be alive, my friend.
What a time to be alive.
All right.
Was that saucy?
That was saucy, man. Saucy. I would be real with you. Like if this, I've never seen anyone do this fast with this stack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it, sometimes I yearn to be an employee again and like go to market or marketing so I can just take this and just blow people's mind away, because it's like, it's so much fun. Like I wish we had $1 million monthly spend so I can just dabble with these tools and just show them what's possible.
Yeah. What's going through my mind is like, there's a lot of arbitrage.
Insane.
Right. Like if you can, you know, if you have good ideas, if you get, you know, a source of good ideas and you can A/B test them and you can be creating beautiful websites, you know, lead magnets, that sort of thing. And you have access to 7 billion people who have, you know, internet connections and their credit cards attached to it. Like there's arbitrage. And I remember when the Facebook ad platform first came out.
Oh yeah.
And you know, the average click, I think back then was 5 cents a click. So meaning like you can create an ad, and I was at the time working with these social gaming companies. So I would say like, hey, you know, as an example, Farmville, I would say like, would you pay me $2 for every install I got for you? And they'd be like, sure, this, you know, we monetize so much better than that. And I was just using Facebook ads because I was paying 5 cents a click. And there was this moment of opportunity basically where you could do really well because of this ad platform and how cheap it is. Now, fast forward to today, I don't even know what a CPC is on average. It's probably $2 or something that.
Yeah, it's like $2, $3. Yeah.
$2, $3, right? So it's you know, so much more expensive. And it's just because people didn't know back then, right? And it's sort of the same thing with this sort of stuff. It's like, you know, 99.999% of people don't know that this stack exists.
Yeah.
And there's an opportunity to create offers and arbitrage right now.
The right tooling, the right approach. You have a terminal with a million context tokens. The opportunities are endless.
Yeah.
You know?
So I appreciate you sharing.
Yeah.
I'll include the link that for that skill in the show notes in the description.
For sure.
I'll include links on where to follow Amir on X and other places. And stay saucy, my friend.
Thank you for having me, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you. All right.